One of the key things about Pathways is it's more than a technology tool. It's a collection of relationships. And in each community, there's like a campfire of people who are sitting together and who care about the data.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytane and Tsintsiyan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. When it comes to improving access and healthcare quality in British Columbia, there hasn't been a single more successful technology innovation than the online platform Pathways. With universal provincial uptake amongst healthcare providers, its impact has been profound, but also sustained as it continues to evolve to support both physicians and the public in need of the valuable information it provides. To talk about the origin and evolution of the award-winning Pathways platform are its two original founders and our distinguished guests today, Dr. Kathleen Ross, co-chair of Pathways BC, a family physician based in Vancouver who is also past president of the Doctors of BC and past president of the Canadian Medical Association, and Dr. Tracy Monk, medical director of Pathways BC and Pathways Yukon, also a primary care physician in Vancouver, faculty at the University of British Columbia, and past president of BC Family Doctors. Thank you both for joining us today. Let's dive right in with the origin story, shall we? Where did the idea of Pathways first come from, and what problem were you seeking to address? Should we start with you, Kathleen?
Sure, that's great. Actually, similar to many other quality improvement project origin stories, you know, we really did start with that. What problem are you trying to solve? Dr. Monk and I have been working in the healthcare system more than 30 years, and the complexity during that time has absolutely increased. And the experience that we have is similar to every primary care clinic across Canada. Frontline clinicians are struggling with that simple, it should be simple, but really a persistent barrier, finding that accurate, up-to-date information on the consultants, diagnostics, communities, services. You know, outdated information is that hidden burden driving burnout. And all those information gaps don't just affect clinicians, of course, but they actually also affect patients. And we started with that problem. So this tool grew out of that underlying need. And following conversations with the New Zealand Division of Family Practice, Pegasus, Dean Mangan came and spoke at the very inaugural meeting of the Fraser Northwest Division of Family Practice. Pathways chose a slightly different path. So we started a grassroots initiative, and that was based on that need for a detailed directory of specialists, their wait times, you know, a curated collection of patient information and clinical tools that we could use in real time. Something to, as Dr. Monk likes to say, make the boat go faster. And you know, we worked iteratively with several developers to co-create Pathways, and we've just been so successful in reducing that administrative burden and streamlining care that there was increased demand, and our colleagues across different divisions of family practices wanted to try that on. So much so that in 2017, Dr. Monk and I incorporated this as an independent, not-for-profit society. And, you know, we established a pattern right off the gate that we'd be governed by a board of clinicians funded largely through the physician master agreement. And we've grown into this widely used, well-established tool with over 9 million page views a year from logged in clinicians, more than 60,000 users. And of course, we're continuing to grow. We've garnered national and international attention through this process, and Pathways is now active in multiple regions in the Yukon and Newfoundland and Labrador most recently.
Maybe I'll just add, and I think it was captured in Kathleen's comments, we're truly a grassroots movement, we're a community-led project, and I think we're a success story of the unique climate of innovation that was enabled by our joint collaborative committees here in this province. So when divisions of family practice said, we need a listing of every specialist and what they see and what they want included in the referral and their wait times and if they do virtual care, and it needs to be set up in a way that's practical and usable within 20 seconds during a visit. That's our threshold. Like, you have 20 seconds to get to what you need. And so I think I don't want to understate the importance of this having been community-led and enabled by our unique joint collaborative committees. And Pathways Now is truly a support infrastructure and probably the largest quality improvement project in this province that can support every one of the joint collaborative committees and all kinds of PQI projects. And but the fact that it's community-led and community stewarded, I think, is one of the things that's caught the imagination of other provinces as well. And we were also struck at the beginning when we started just with the college directory, for example, to look at what was in there and to realize, sorry to say, how breathtakingly incorrect it is and how many physicians work at multiple locations and how the location in the college directory isn't where they actually work. And we have lots of clinicians listed in the directory who work in up to 8 locations and they do outreach work. And I can remember one of the ophthalmologists saying to me they couldn't remember when they were going to a rural community and their MOA wasn't around. So they looked in Pathways and they could see, oh, that's when I'm doing my outreach visit to that rural community. So the fact that it's an actively maintained directory and community stewarded and really grew out of the joint collaborative committees. We still, the funding still sits in the Family Practice Services Committee budget, but it's been its own protected budget line in the Physician Master Agreement because physicians said, this is so important to me, I can't be without it. And I think sometimes I think the fact that it sits in the Family Practice Services Committee budget makes people think it's just an FPSC project, but actually it's a project that belongs to everybody. It belongs to us all, something we should feel so proud of as BC and proud that other provinces are looking to adopt it and that some are asking for it to be the national standard for a curated directory of provider work in a highly granular form.
You know, I love that. I love that idea of accessing information within 20 seconds. That's beautiful because everyone's pushed for time. And you're right. If it's going to take just that little bit more friction, then people aren't going to do it, right? So I think that's a wonderful. And I'd love to know, that as a guiding principle for when you first set up the platform, did you have any other guiding principles that you want to apply from the get-go when you were just in that early embryonic stage of setting up Pathways?
Well, certainly we wanted to make sure it stayed community-led and community-stewarded and that it, you know, that people feel that it belongs to us all. So I think there's something unique about that. And I can remember when an evaluator came in who was quite skeptical about community-led technology projects. And then he looked at what we'd done and thought, oh my freaking God, like this is unbelievable. And the level of community engagement that you have, like you could work a lifetime in IT consulting and never see something with the level of engagement that this has. And he said, you know, as somebody who had worked many, many years in IT consulting and design projects, he said, I don't think most people who design health IT systems have an understanding of how valuable and extraordinary this is. It's like gold. You know, you just will never see this kind of thing again. And I think the fact that the community feels a sense of ownership of it, I feel like it's like a game of touch football. The more people are playing, the more fun it gets. And so everybody feels a sense of ownership and our users participate. Like if they see something wrong in the directory, there's a button that they can click to say, this is incorrect. And it takes a split second to do it. And so we get thousands of users commenting if something seems incorrect. It's not a straight wiki because it doesn't change the site immediately, but every page has an accountable owner and our administrators respond within a day to anybody who sends feedback. So we're just constantly iterating. A great example is the nephrologists on Vancouver Island noticed that they all have the same wait time. And previously, the way, like, we display listings by wait time with the shortest wait time at the top and longer as you go down. But within one wait time band, previously it was alphabetical. And they commented, gosh, the guy at the top of the alphabet's getting all the referrals. And could you change that? And when they said that, our developers went, geez, Louise, of course, like we should have changed that ages ago. And as soon as they, you know, voice that concern. Within 6 weeks, we had changed the site so that it shuffles every time you look at the page within an identical wait time band. So I think the community-led nature also means that physician voice is embedded into our work. Like, you don't have to go to a committee and speak to a project manager who's then going to speak to a vendor who's then going to speak to the developer who's then going to make a change request. And then it's a game of broken telephone. And usually they don't even do anything, but sometimes they do something, but it's the wrong thing. In this case, you know, it's a 15-minute conversation with our team, and then our team has like a 1 minute conversation with the developers, and we release a new version of Pathways every 2 weeks. So they're constantly developing, and they just acted on that immediately. And so 6 weeks later, from observation of an imperfection to, okay, now that's fixed. We're very rapid in our iterative cycles, and we make mistakes. Like, I think one of the big things we learned along the way is that we're wrong quite a lot. And as doctors, you know, we can be a little bit of blowhards. Like, we can think we can be certain that we're right. And there were times in the development process where everybody agreed we should do a certain thing, not just the doctors, also the MOAs. And we have the MOAs very deeply embedded in the process. And quite often, the most genius suggestions come from MOAs, and the most helpful modifications to the site have come from strong complainers. Like, that complaint led to a very important change to the site. And recently, when we released our new AI search, we got, like, we have thousands and thousands of users, and I was worried when we did that we were going to get a host of complaints, and we got 10 angry people. And then we decided it's worth it to talk to these 10 angry people, and they all had brilliant insight. They've become some of our best testers now, and they've really helped to tune the site. So I think that sense of collective ownership and a very nimble, lean process for iterating can make a really big difference.
Tracy touches on so many key factors as we go through that. You know, early on, our number of iterations were frequent and small. And exactly as you've said, Tracy, we found often that what we thought we needed and what the programmers generated, there was this big mismatch. And, you know, involving the program team and proposing those solutions, involving representatives from the divisions of family practice across the province in a user group, really helped us guide, you know, where we were going and selecting topics for prioritizations. We would have maybe 40, 50 things on a list that needed to improve, and the user group would help us refine that and really help keep the ocean small enough to boil. And those small iterative changes guided by the community is so foundational. It's what Helen Bevan likes to call the Trojan mice. So often we find the solutions to our technical problems in our day-to-day are top-down, big, large, heavy technical solutions. But what we actually need are these small iterative changes with continuous feedback from partners and frontline clinicians to actually drive those change. And you asked about key principles. And I would say at the top of that is absolutely community stewardship and partnerships across the organizations and individuals that we need to make this work. That interprofessional cooperation, because Pathways isn't just for a physician. We have nurse practitioners and midwives and community services and health authorities all using this this concise, very accurate database. So that knowledge translation piece and communication is absolutely key. And one of the things that we also learned along the way was that rather than centralizing responsibility, having that community-led data stewardship really distributed that accountability and gave individuals, so when I'm using Pathways and I find something that's not correct, as Tracy has said, you just hit the button and send it back. We want that feedback, and that drives ownership and engagement. So shared governance and local accountability has absolutely been key. And the other important thing that Tracy alluded to there is the fact that we don't have a good, accurate data source anywhere else. We know that you can't just count the beans. A family doctor is not a family doctor, not a family doctor. A general surgeon is not a general surgeon, not a general surgeon. So having that granular detail about the who does what, where, when addresses challenges that we face as referrers, but it actually addresses challenges that consultant specialists have as receivers of referrals, they're not having to turn back, ask for additional information, ask for a different person to be referred to a different colleague because they don't provide that service. It has actually streamlined both sides of this engagement piece. And there's no question at all that staying true to our grassroots origins of community-driven, collaborative, and recognizing that that failure is actually the part of the journey to innovation. And I think that this is failing early, failing often, and failing forward is one of the things that drives our work in QI. And we always have room to fail. And we know that that's one of the secrets to our success.
Some examples in terms of having the granularity in the directory and how the network of relationships, because I think one of the key things about Pathways is it's more than a technology tool, it's a collection of relationships. And in each community, there's like a campfire of people who are sitting together and who care about the data and who, and our administrators are amazing. Many of them used to be medical office assistants. This past week, we added musculoskeletal ultrasound. So our staff is in the process of working with the facilities to update musculoskeletal ultrasound. Or our conversations with the cancer agency, we were talking about other things and they pointed out, oh yeah, you know, we're always trying to figure out which specialists will see things like complications of cancer immunotherapy, the checkpoint inhibitor toxicity. And I said, geez, you know, like we're basically surveying the profession every 6 months. We should add cancer treatment side effects as a general category and cancer immunotherapy toxicity as another. So we've now added those and we're starting to collect those as well. And these are examples of how we're just a big, large quality improvement project and a tool to support other quality improvement projects.
So how has Pathways, both the organization and the platform, how has it evolved over time since its original evolution? And how exactly have its capabilities expanded?
Well, that's a really big question because, of course, we started iteratively in a very small group of physicians. And I think it's really important that we actually emphasize that this is not one or two physicians taking this on. This is truly a community, and it does take a village to make those changes. But each time that we've shared Pathways with other clinicians for the first time, and they start to understand where the possibilities are in their workflow, patient care, you know, the navigation efficiency, being a win-win in almost every situation, this actually has allowed Pathways to grow from addressing the needs of just one small community to addressing many community needs and many many areas of practice. So we continue to grow in response to opportunities. So we're continuously doing environmental scans, who's doing what where, or what linkages is on. And Dr. Monk, as our medical director, is absolutely amazing in getting that outreach and getting partners on board to say, if you want your new care pathway, whatever that is going to be driving patient care, to live in perpetuity, you want to work with us as Pathways. Come and talk to us first, see where we can actually house that information. And that has led to development of many other features to meet those needs.
Yeah, so in terms of how it's evolved over time and how the capabilities have expanded, I mean, as you know, we started in one division, then we went to five, then we scaled to the whole province. Now we're scaling to other provinces. And we built it with the intention that it could be a gift to scale to all. Like we built it to be shareable and easily scalable. And then we added different functionalities over time based on needs, not just wants, but needs. And early, if we started with just the provider directory, and we added the clinician tools and patient information. And then people said, gosh, I'd like to be able to create a bundle of patient information and save that bundle so I don't have to keep creating the same bundle. So we did that. And then, well, geez, I'd like to be able to share it with my team members if we create a bundle that we all have the same bundle, our knee arthritis bundle and our migraine bundle, and the nurse educators in the primary care network want the same bundle. And so let's patients have shareable bundles. And then with the care pathways, because we have a one-stop shop combination of the directory of clinician tools and the directory of patient information and the directory of providers and the directory of services, a clinical algorithm can be transformed into also a service navigation tool and a patient educational tool. So while you're working through your clinical algorithm, in that 20 seconds, you can also be hitting an envelope button to educate the patient about whatever the topic of the algorithm is. And you can also hit a button to take you to your local collection of services or providers if it's time to make a referral. After you've worked your way through the algorithm, it'll show you the appropriate collection. And as Kathleen said, we hope that any quality improvement project or shared care project will talk to us early in the process, because we can save them a lot of time in trying to do environmental scans, you know, scouring the internet for handouts and for services, because we have that and we have a collection that's being continuously maintained and a dead link checker running every week. So all of it will be maintained. And we say to these projects, if you work with us, your project will be sustainable, because if we show you how to build links into your care pathways so that they actually leverage the pathways infrastructure, they'll be getting continuously maintained. So they'll be sustainable, they'll be scalable to the whole province, so people don't have to keep replicating the same work in 30 different areas. We can do it once and then continue to iterate on it, because other areas might say, hey, this is imperfect for this reason. Perfect. So let's do another iteration of it. And it's measurable. So scalable, sustainable, and measurable. The work is measurable because we give analytics access to anybody who wants it, so that they can count the number of times particular handouts, particular care pathways, particular clinician tools or programs are getting used. And they can do that analysis by specific geographies, like a division level or a health authority level or provincial level. And we didn't have time to be running all the reports that everybody wants to run. So we just created an interface that people can be trained to use and run reports to their heart's content. After we had created our directory of providers, clinicians said, you know, the directory is such an easy directory to use and filter. We love how you've built it. Couldn't you do the same for community services? Because other service directories are a little bit difficult to use, and we don't want to go to a different one to find services. Can't you build that in? So we have done that. And so we have community and health authority services. And then another, in terms of our capabilities, the most recent thing we added is AI at several levels. So we have a large language model search. It used to be a keyword search, but now we get sort of much more wise results, I guess. And then there's also a generative summary that gets triggered if you type a search of more than three words. So you can type a search like support for parents of child with anxiety, and it's going to give you the Confident Parents Thriving Kids program, and it's going to explain that. And if you typed in support for parents of Indigenous child with anxiety, it's going to give you the Big Worries Strong Spirit program. Our AI can consume and digitize the output of any EMR in the province. And we also have an integration with a scribe, so that the scribe summarizes the visit, and then having understood what it was about, it then presents you with a list of relevant handouts from pathways. And then there's a button you can push right there to send it at that moment.
And I'm just going to clarify for listeners that when we're using AI for our searches and for our generative summaries, we're using it based in the closed loop system that is pathways. So everything that's accessible through that AI is not out on the internet searching for a resource. It's actually things that are in pathways, just so that we know that the material we're presenting is accurate. I think what Tracy has spoken so eloquently about here is one of our very key foundational principles in pathways, and that is that clinician frontline provider centered design and integration into workflow. You know, our information architecture, the way that we share, the way that the AI is presenting materials, this is actually presented according to how clinicians think during a clinical encounter, not how institutions are structured, not that you're looking for a research project, but how can you use that right now, today? And that really does reflect the cognitive workflow that that we do in primary care rather than trying to find information of your bureaucratic hierarchy. But aligning that daily clinical workflow reduces our friction, reduces our administrative burden, and really helps us avoid dealing with redundant searches across multiple systems.
I was at one recently about shoulder, and then, you know, they asked me to show all the shoulder related stuff in pathways. Or I was at another with a CME about antibiotic stewardship. And one of the great things with pathways is if you type the name of any infection into pathways, it'll take you quickly to the right page of the bugs and drugs manual, faster than opening up the bugs and drugs app. You'll get to the right page, and you'll also have a patient handout about managing infections without antibiotics. And so you get all these things. And actually nationally, Wendy Levinson and the Choosing Wisely team got very excited when they saw that when you type in something like pneumonia, not only do you get the right page of bugs and drugs and a pneumonia handout, you get a Choosing Wisely tip that's like, don't prescribe antibiotics for something that's a viral infection. And remember, the mean duration of viral cough is 18 days. So I love it when I type pneumonia, I can get quickly to the bugs and drugs page, but I also am reminded, oh yeah, mean duration of viral cough is 18 days. And I can say that in the moment to the patient. And Wendy said, you know, we've been working for years with EMR vendors trying to produce something like this, and you guys are light years ahead of anything that they've been able to accomplish. We teach all of the residents, and especially the IMGs, they just feel such a sense of comfort and feel like I will be able to do this job because I have this tool. And in one of our evaluations, a guy who'd worked, you know, 20 years all over the world said, I've never seen anything like this tool anywhere else in the world.
You know, it kind of makes us feel like we're everybody's accessory brain.
Yes, like the Ood in Doctor Who, for any of you who watch Doctor Who.
That's exactly what it is, right? This is amazing functionality, an amazing resource. Were you expecting it to turn into this great, amazing behemoth of information and an aid to clinical practice when you first set out? Or did you always have that idea from the get-go?
I think we knew the potential could be great because we could see that it was changing lives in New Zealand. But even New Zealand says to us now, like, you guys, we work with 60 healthcare systems around the world and your directory beats everything. Like, there is nothing that does directory the way you guys do it. One of the people who helped the most was one of our very beginning partners, a doctor named Ron Warnerbolt. I said to our team at the beginning, we need Ron on this because Ron, he's a stamp collector and he's very focused, a finisher and completer, highly detail oriented. And I think you can tell, like, I'm maybe a little chaotic and excited. And, you know, I'm the person who's like, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And I think I'm sort of the project lunatic. And Kathleen is sort of the project business sense. And Ron at the beginning was the project detail man.
It's more than that, Tracy. You're not chaotic. I think truly, and we have several of this type of brain on our team now that actually do look for that blue sky, look for the possibilities, think about things from different angles, and try and, you know, build to those problems. But it's always coming back to what's standing in the way, what's limiting our capability, what could we do better, faster, you know, more inclusively and more in line with how we work on the front line. This has driven us right from the beginning. And the whole team is just so excessively curious. And I will give Tracy full credit for being that blue sky thinker and generating ideas almost on a daily basis at times. And you're right, Joyce. Sometimes we have to keep one foot on the ground where we're at right now. But that curiosity and that nimbleness and responsiveness that we've built into our whole process inside of Pathways has driven that proven track record of delivering on the timely solutions to the things that are really standing in the way. And that brings people to us. We are the campfire that people want to huddle around because of that proven track record. And I think this is, it just continues to build and grow. And I agree absolutely with everything Tracy said. We knew this could be something good, but I don't think we could have envisioned 13 years ago where we would be today. And I can't envision what this is going to look like 13 years into the future. Honestly, it's fun. This is fun work. I can't imagine
it's
if I started
so much
this.
Fun. Yeah.
When we started this, could you imagine doing it for this many years?
I would do it for a hobby, for fun. It's just so much fun. And everything's like logic puzzles.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And, you know, I can just talking to you over the interviewing you today, you can just see that enthusiasm for the entire project come over. And you two really are actually a pretty good team, I would say. You balance each other incredibly well. And I'm sure that the rest of your team appreciates that leadership as well. That piece about it being fun, you know, that is a motivator in itself. And that I'm sure is helped you keep going over that those 13 years. So that's really good to hear as well. We'd love to keep talking. We'd love to keep hearing more about this wonderful project. But unfortunately, we do have a limited time frame and we do have to wrap things up at this point. But I would really like to extend a big, big thank you for joining us today and talking about this truly amazing and impactful work in developing pathways. You know, the medical community of BC, if I could speak on their behalf, thanks you for this amazing resource which you've built. For coming on the podcast today, as a token of our thanks, we always send our guests an exclusive QualityCast North coffee mug. So look out for that one in the mail, winging its way to you both.
Thank you so much.
That's fantastic. Thanks.
You've been listening to Dr. Kathleen Ross and Dr. Tracy Monk talking about Pathways, the award-winning information portal, improving access and information to healthcare across BC. To find out more about Pathways, you can find several links in our show notes. But until next time, it's goodbye from all of us here at QualityCast North and your hosts. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycons@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.